It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I don't know exactly what's happening to me today, but I am dreadfully unprepared to speak as an expert on the topic of today's show.
I'm just going to say that if you're going to start with that accent, you're going to do it through the whole show.
I have been told that the budget has been slashed once again for 2026, and we should be doing all of our own voices if we want to add any color flavor to this program.
What is
I don't know. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Cezzano. And I'm just telling you, like, I don't know what's gotten into me today. But on today's show, we're going to talk about cocooning. Cocooning. I can't imagine a better time to talk about this topic. It's cold.
No kidding.
This is...
Do you know how many layers
like,
I'm wearing?
I'm just saying, the only redeeming quality of winter may be that there's no bugs.
Okay. That's true. They're all dead.
Like, that might be like the, especially like this kind of cold. But I found something out that is scaring the living daylights out of me, and I want to share it with everybody because there's a lot to talk about on today's show. But let's start with the topic of exploding trees. Have you seen this?
Trees aren't exploding, you weirdo.
Have you seen these?
Jesus.
This clickbait.
Yes.
Online, depending on your platform of choice.
You know.
It's crazy.
AI.
Exploding trees. No, and then I looked it up.
They don't explode. They just crack.
They crack and they do pop loudly, and it sounds like a gunshot. You know?
Okay.
So
exploding.
I know, but what if you were a bird and you're like, the likelihood of your house...
Birds probably know all about it.
I know, but your house
They're
is like...
experts on trees.
You have
trees.
To explain that to your little birdlings in the nest. And you're like...
Your little birdlings.
Little chicks or whatever species of bird you are up north. And you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I just want to let you know, darlings. There's a likelihood with the weather and the current situation that our home may explode. Well, can't we just... Mommy, can we move to another... home? Nope. Oh, you mean like another tree? No, might all explode, and there's a high likelihood that the home that you've nestled in and settled yourself into under the safety of my wings and my feathers may explode. Like, it's the last thing I needed. Like, you know, you think about the most quiet, calm, serene place on the planet being like up north, calm. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I saw that exploding tree clickbait thing, and I was like, oh gosh, see, we're not safe anywhere. Apparently.
I mean, I tell my kids my house could explode at any moment.
I know, but if that was your reality, it was like, okay.
Stop insulting my cooking.
Nancy. Here's the thing. So top of mind for me at the Design Coach is this theme of cocooning and nesting. And I can't think of a better time of year to start talking about it. But I was thinking about...
Well, given that all of our listeners are in a cocoon right now.
Oh, yeah. Forced inside of your own nest. Due to the fact that
wearing all your clothes.
Your skin may freeze in the next 10 seconds if you venture outside to engage with the world.
Anyway. I think probably a lot of people had a three-day weekend because Friday...
Oh, 100%.
I know
our team
was
just like, I moved up the move. I mean, I want to talk about, listen, the reason this is like, I'm really excited. I want to share with everybody. If you go on social media, you're going to get a glimpse at the fact that we moved into our new offices today. Thanks, Nancy. It's a splendid, brilliant moment for the Design Coach team. I don't know. It's just a sort of a dream come true. And, you know, there just is something to being able to live an experience with this team that has really, really worked, fought both internally and externally to sort of like just elevate, right?
Yeah.
In the empowerment and the education of our clients to create great interiors. They continue to do so every day. And it's so great to have them be a part of something that they've helped create. A vision that I sort of had let's just say it was clay on the wheel as we were developing the concept.
Right.
And it came into fruition this week in a really profound way. And I'm just so thankful and grateful for the team and for, you know, obviously, you know, my wife, Julie, who's, you know, been by my side for, you know, the better part of 25 plus years, watching us sort of move from studio to studio to studio to, you know, always try to create these environments that had a gravity, and I was going to say a creative and inspirational gravity for our clients and for our teams. as driven by the fact that I'm still the same kid who looks at a blank corner of a room and wants to do something special with it. And, you know, that hasn't ever left. It will never will. But that same level of enthusiasm and that same level of effort to create something special is on full display in this new space. And, you know, we've been living like fugitives in the temporary studio next door. We look like we're a design team on the run. We do.
Is there like yellow tape across?
No, they're just at these temp desks with like we finally got real printers, right? Which is the design team has grown up. We have, not everybody has like some, you know, individual printer that someone's banging on because it's not working.
Right.
Like, you know, we got pro printers brought in, and that was the first step. And, you know, this team's been working in the other side, which... It's interesting because it's an old factory. Uh-huh. I mean, if you just took a snapshot and you looked at like the security camera and you were like, what are those people doing in that warehouse? Like, it doesn't look like we're doing design. It looks like we're doing some, you know, illicit activity.
Some clandestine operation.
I don't know. Yeah, some clandestine. Yeah, yeah, like we're like a CIA front. Right. Like, we're actually just listening on all of the businesses next door with those old reel tapes. You know
somebody
what I mean?
Somebody knocks on the door. Like 1960. Hey, watch out. I have one of those.
You know, like, somebody, oh my gosh, did they say communist? You know what I mean? Like,
somebody
turn the volume up.
Somebody knocks on the door and there's just an eyeball that mm-hmm. sticks out. Like,
who are you and why are you here?
What's the password?
Hello. Mm-hmm. No, but like we're ready to kind of get into our new digs.
What do you think the date is that you'll be in? Like if I was just a customer and I wanted to come down, I wanted to check the place out. What's the date do you think when you'll be ready for
public,
like normal people to come in?
Still by invitation only, probably till March.
Okay.
But I think
that's
March.
That's not far away.
Because really what my goal was to try to get the team settled into their creative home so that they just had their systems all set up. And, you know, when we work on the size projects that we do on a national level, and as we've increased in our ability to take on more work through the training and the great work of the team, I finally have a sort of a physical apparatus that can kind of keep up with the speed of my mind.
Right. Oh.
And my ideas.
Really?
And
what
I
is
have
that?
A team. I have a team.
Like a rocket launcher?
I can have a team that keeps up with it. Like there, you know, there's something to be said as you've developed and you've, you know, stayed the course with your people as you've been developing them and coaching them the entire step of the way, that when you finally kind of arrive there, that's all of a sudden when it feels natural.
Yeah.
Versus the other way around where it's like, well, shouldn't it be natural from the beginning? And it's like, it's not, it doesn't really work that way. Like,
gotta be in a groove, man.
You can be as creative, not as creative, you can be as effective applying your creativity as your systems will allow you to.
Right.
Because you can be very creative and you can have great ideas, but if you cannot put them into play and you cannot put them into practice and you get them in the home, they're just ideas.
Too many obstacles.
They're just just ideas. So right. I definitely have channeled a little bit of Harry Potter. I've definitely channeled a little bit of mid-century modern and definitely channeled a little bit of like James Bond spy in the development of this like new interior and creative inspirational home of the design coach.
Is the big counter in there? Has it always been in there? Is that
where the big counter is in the other side of the space?
Okay.
But it's just fascinating to be on this side of it because we are in this nesting phase at the Design Coach where the team is going to, they moved at the end of the week. And because the weather was going to get really, you know, not great, we decided to sort of front load that activity. And we're so glad that we did.
Yeah, for sure.
But there is just something to feeling settled. And I feel like the topic for today's show is, you know, I did some trend research because you know how I am in the beginning of the year. I want to sort of see.
I know how much you love trends.
Well,
though,
I just want to see what the nonsensical chatter is on the digital diarrhea that is thrown at everyone's face like a monkey, okay, from a cage. Like, it's just disgusting how just some of the idiocy that sort of like makes for like digital expertise. It's just like it's really ridiculous. And
some of it is kindergartenish.
Please hold back, Philip. No, but I'm just saying, like, you know, like, it's you know how it infuriates me because it's like, you know, I'm seeing something I'm loving right now. I'll tell you what I'm absolutely loving. What I'm loving is this concept of the narrative-driven interior. The narrative storytelling interior.
Mm-hmm.
And the natural link to that is the story of you.
Yeah.
You know, we covered last week Design You, which is our overarching philosophy of how do you bake what makes you unique into your interiors so that you don't fall prey to the trend, to what's popular,
right,
to the hip style of the day. How do you make it more authentically you? Now, listen, if you don't like you, that's a problem we should dig into on another show, okay?
I have a guest coming up on my show. She'll handle it for you.
Yes. Dr. Laura will be here shortly. Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, like, if you don't like who you are, you don't think you're interesting. I don't think that that's true. I think that everybody has a unique story, and they have things that either go undiscovered, unshared, or dormant. So undiscovered, unshared, or dormant.
Mm-hmm.
That throughout the course of your life, like, here's what I will say. There are very few boring children. When you're a child, everything is wondrous and everything is fun and everything is exciting. And I do find that even quiet children who might seem like they might be boring,
mm-hmm,
still have gears churning.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to feel safe and comfortable to get that expression out. And I feel like we just take that sense of excitement and enthusiasm that we have as kids, and we just bury it and we layer it, and it gets dampered and mucked up. And by the time we get to the point where we can afford to do something special,
we're afraid to.
We don't we don't even know how.
Right. I think that the word, and this isn't really a word, but what strikes me
no,
is
no, we would only use words on the radio.
Oh,
shows.
Well, crap.
No sign language.
Self-permission. Mm. Or something to that effect. Like, mm-hmm, you haven't given yourself permission just to, like, it's okay. There's no, like, it's okay if there's no wrong answer. Like, really, in creativity and design, are there any wrong answers except for Joshua Beck?
Joshua Becker?
Becker, whatever his name is.
And the minimalism. Joshua Becker is not wrong in all instances, just most.
Just mostly.
No, I mean, kidding.
But I'm saying, you know what I mean? Like, we don't give ourselves the permission because we, you know, maybe haven't figured out how to, or have been, like you said, we haven't given the children permission to express themselves the way they want to, or let them know that it's okay. And that, like, there's nothing wrong.
There's just an
adults, we get in bad habits where we suppress ourselves.
There's just an enthusiasm for life when life is new.
Right.
And so when you're of the ages of 3 to whatever, I don't know, call it before you get jaded. Let's just say, before you hit a teen years,
mm-hmm,
let's just say, like, you really start thinking about it. Like, 3 is a little young, so maybe, like, real enthusiasm, like, I'm going to say 6 to 12. You,
mm-hmm,
got this sweet spot, right, when you're
a
kid.
Yes.
And you can see it in all those kids. Like, that is the time when you're doing one thing as a parent. You're wiring them correctly.
Right.
Or you're wiring them incorrectly, which turns out to be a lot harder after 12.
Right.
This is not a show on parenting advice, but maybe we might want to do one. At some point, if that case, I'm going to bring Julian.
Okay.
But
yes, we should.
What I will tell you is there is this sweet spot where the world is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay getting excited and yelling and screaming and doing, you know, being authentically just you. And then at some point, we have to, quote unquote, grow up.
Mm.
And I think our definition of what that looks like affects our design. It affects what we surround ourselves with. It affects the way we dress. It affects the way we communicate. And at some point, most of us are done a disservice. The one thing I do know is when we come back to the break, you know, this perspective that I have as an artist, because,
mm-hmm,
you're never not an artist. You never grow out of being an artist.
Right.
Okay? You grow out of other things, but you never grow out of being an artist.
Right.
That perspective, when we come back from the break, and this concept of cocooning and nesting and always constantly creating as a way of life, is what I want to explore on today's show. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Did we start? Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Yes, we've started the show.
With your host, Philip Susano.
Segment two.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome.
I'm not very good at accents. I mean, I'm really good at my Southern accent, but that's not going to go with your English accent.
Splendid and brilliant Sunday morning.
Because I'm not really imitating my Southern accent.
I know. Oh, that's not bad.
That's how I talk.
We need more characters on the show because the budget's low.
Anyway. Y'all better listen to my British friend.
You know what? We'll do that. Let's, mm-hmm, do that. Okay, you can move into,
all right,
you can go into Karen at any time. No, what would be a good Southern name?
Charlotte.
Betty Charlotte. Charlotte's good.
Charlotte.
Yeah. Abigail.
Abigail.
That's a good one. Okay, anyway, we digress.
Nancy.
So,
stupid.
So listen, here's the deal. We're talking about cocooning and nesting, and I can't imagine a more perfect time of the year to be Moving into our new offices when it's minus 20.
Idea. Good plan.
I was watching, and we were talking in the last segment about how this enthusiasm from age 6 to 12 is something that I wish I could bottle for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I really wish that I could, you could take the innocence of that, the spirit of that, the enjoyment of that, the enthusiasm of that, and
the giggles, the laughter, the cheer, the joy.
Yes, the joy. And almost like the unrealistic enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or like, and I'll even take the unrealistic depression.
Right, I was
like,
going to say. Just general drama.
Absolute save it for Broadway
yeah.
drama. That is like, everything is, oh my gosh, I can't have Jell-O. What do you mean I can't have Jell-O? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
all of that, if you could bottle that a little.
I wish I loved Jell-O that much.
I know,
right.
But if you,
right.
Yes, yeah, I wish. I think a lot of us wish we loved anything that much.
Yeah.
That's the sad statement of
right.
today's show.
It is.
Is that passion that I wish that I could bottle? I want to tell everybody out there. I'm going to tell you this, and I really believe it. I believe it's there. It's just under a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's under a lot of things, and it's hard to breathe when it's suffocating. Creativity, unrealized, metastasizes. It finds its way into some unhealthy expressions, okay? And when creativity is allowed to sort of bubble to the surface, and I mean without judgment, mm-hmm. I mean without critique, I mean just raw enthusiasm, we're told we have to grow up and be adult by the very people that I believe are telling you they just want you to behave.
Right.
See, I think what it is one large societal control mechanism over your creativity. Now that goes to a much larger topic, which I don't want to get all conspiracy theory about it, but I believe that creatives have been suppressed intentionally for a really long time. I believe that. I believe that you've seen this in the music business. Yep. You've seen this in all types of arts business. I believe the power of the arts and the enthusiasm and the ability for humans to create for and with one another is a really powerful thing. And I think it scares a lot of people in power.
Well, look at
it scares
all
a lot of people in control.
Right.
Okay. So
but look
it just
at all
does.
Of the creative arts and cultural arts, which are creative arts. They've taken right off the top. Look at what they've taken out of schools in general.
Well, and they've also taken that arts section and they've made it expensive.
Oh, that's
so you
true.
Can only go to the orchestra. You can only
right.
go to the ballet. You can only go to the movies. You can only like the daily practice of creativity. Is something that the minute you hit a certain age, you're told you got to put that away.
Right. Yeah.
Well, as an artist, yeah. that never leaves you. Like, I was fortunate for my parents looked at that and said, okay, if that's what you want to do, just understand what comes with that. So they were very balanced in their approach of, mm-hmm. listen, you could be creative, but you better find a way to try
pay to. Pay for it.
Pay for it.
Right.
Try to do it on some level of monetization.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right.
Do it honestly. Try to do it with some transparency. And the piece that I didn't have that I had to learn as an autodidact who was self-taught, I had to learn business myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, I didn't have to learn creativity. I had that.
Right.
I mean, I like to say that I actually started the company in 1969, which means I was creative since birth. Okay? So I'm just saying I really believe I've been creative out of the womb. Like mm-hmm. I was thinking this way very, very young, as early yeah. as I can remember.
Yeah.
And I almost wish I could go back and talk to my mom. And, you know, we lost a few years back and say, hey, is there anything you saw like when I was three?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And maybe the answer is no, maybe the answer is yes. But I specifically remember these.
Do you
ages.
Talk to your siblings about it?
I don't know that they would pay. They were, listen, I had five kids. They were all worried about their own. That was like, that was Lord of the Flies. We were all just trying to figure out whether or not you got enough Fruit Loops.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whether you got your
free for all.
We were worried about whether or not you got your fair share of food, Nancy. Okay, let's be really honest yeah. about what was going on at the scarcity of the Sasano household. I mean, it didn't get better till later. And by that time, you know, my sister and my brother who are, I'm not going to say, they're older than me, not mm-hmm. significantly older, but they're older. You know, they were on to a different season of their life mm-hmm. by the time I was kind of coming into this space. But I do remember 6 to 12. And I did recently write a story about wanting to run home. I shared with you this story about mm-hmm. how I would run home every day after school.
Yep.
And the minute I got into middle school, the world changed. Mm-hmm. It was all about who you knew and what you did and what parties you got invited to. And the world changed. And I think I was fortunate enough to always have my art to hold on to because it was how I kept my creative enthusiasm. I didn't let it and I didn't let it damper my spirit.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure it dampened it, but I never lost it.
And you had that. That was your retreat.
And I think it's sad that so when you talk about taking arts out of the school and you take that out at some level, you know, what are you to lean on?
I'm sorry, but
knowledge is right. Cool, but knowledge sometimes isn't fun.
Right. Okay? And it removed balance.
I think so. I think it removed the ability for you to go right brain, left brain.
Yeah.
And said you're only going to be realistic. You're only going to be pragmatic.
Right.
You're going to do, and this is your path.
And black and white.
And some of these people got into these paths, and we've been experiencing this and seeing this. They get down these paths 12, 15, 25 years in their career, mm-hmm. and they just quit.
Mm-hmm.
And they become something different because they're like, I can't do it. Because, again, my statement of that creativity, if not expressed, metastasizes into really unhealthy things. I think it makes people frustrated. I think it makes people crabby. I think it makes people bitter. And so what I'm trying to express on today's show is how do we lift that? And I want to link this to specifically to nesting and cocooning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it just because of the weather segment or that I'm moving into this new office. I'm just saying that I'm living it with you. Like, I am living it in my own home right now,
right,
with all of the listeners. In Julie and I finally being able to afford, even though I've been in the business 25 plus years, we're finally able to kind of afford and think about a kitchen for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, this is one of the things that this is her food, I really believe, is her love language.
Yeah.
To us, like, the preparation of food is her love language. You know, like, she just loves to, it's like her version of creativity.
Right.
And although she wouldn't consider herself artistic necessarily, she sings, you know, she's like, mm-hmm. she's got a much better voice than I think anybody would realize. And
aww.
And she's, I think one of the things that's glued us together is, We're silly together.
Uh-huh.
Like, we're goofy to the point where it annoys our kids sometimes, but we're like, mm-hmm. we're still goofy together.
I know.
And I like, to me, finding a partner that you can be yourself with, like, you know, like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually really special. And what I wanted to explain to everybody today is, you guys, it's there for you. It's just, it might take some work and it might take some energy and it might take some time to get it, but let's get it. And I'm gonna give you some ways to do it, and I'm gonna give you some activities that you can do specifically with cocooning and nesting that I think might start to bring some of that joy and excitement for creating something special, even if it's on the small scale, to the surface.
I think you should start with the difference between cocooning and nesting.
Yeah, let's do it.
Go ahead. I don't know. I'm asking.
I think the best spaces actually do three things.
Okay.
They allow you to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
They allow you to recharge. So retreat and recharge are kind of together. It's kind of the same. They allow you to explore, both internally and externally. And they allow you to celebrate.
Yes.
Now, think about what I'm asking there with that statement. I'm asking for rooms to not be segmented by what we think are traditional identities of a room.
Good point.
Think about it.
Right.
Think about dining rooms for a moment.
Right.
We are only supposed to dress a certain way in the dining room.
It's a formal.
We are only supposed to have the right place setting and placemats in the dining room. You ought to behave. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
True.
If anybody's watched Downton Abbey.
Yeah, you're on
again. And you think about the English language having to be so descriptive, like the British. You know what my hunch is? They're so repressed, they have to use better language to be funny.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they can't be like Americans and bombastic and all these other ways that they can't be cowboys. Okay?
True.
Now, they call that refined. I don't, okay. That's
boring.
One way of looking at it, right? But I don't come from that family. I come from the boisterous, loud Italian family, right? And,
right.
And, right, Polish and Italian family that just like says it and also gets the job done.
Right.
Okay? So there's a pragmatism and a volume to the celebration that I think the best rooms account for and can retreat back to the place to recharge. A room can be all three of those things. A place to rejuvenate,
mm-hmm.
and relax, a place to explore internally and reflect on the world around you outside of it, and also celebrate. And what we're not doing anymore is we're sort of dooming rooms to a specific activity.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, that's why the living room got, like, became underutilized. Because no one really knew what to do with it.
Right.
Let's be really honest about
it's
when.
It's a formal.
Let's be really honest about growing up. How many times our parents used the living room? Only when there was?
An event.
Or company.
Holiday.
Company.
Right. Company. Yeah.
Company.
Right.
And you had to sit there and your mom would bring something. You know, it's like, it just became.
Don't spill anything in that room.
Listen, some of you probably weren't even allowed to go in there.
No, we were not.
Okay. And it had the nicer furniture. Mm-hmm. It had the nicer things. They were afraid you were going to break something. And in that museum of unfun, okay, became this myth that we had to have spaces that couldn't do all three of the things that I'm recommending. Great spaces do. Great spaces flex. You should have a dining room table that if you want to get a little loud and have a lot of and overserve and be you should be able to do that.
Right.
It should be able to be both elegant and entertaining simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not predisposed to thinking of our spaces creatively, because it's been beaten out of us or it's been suppressed, we tend to just lock into the myth of the identity of the room that people, society tells us we need to have.
Labeled.
COVID blew that out of the water.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
COVID said, this is ridiculous. When we come back from the break, what I'm going to start to do is give everyone the tools to really understand the creativity that can be released when you start thinking of your rooms without the labels and the identities society has given us. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. My team loves snacks.
Snacks.
The reason I say this is because one of the other elements that you should be able to do with an amazing space is eat almost anywhere.
Oh.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your schizophrenic host, Philip Sassano. And I'm channeling my inner Brit. And maybe this is completely appropriate, too, when we talk about suppression. And we talk about, you know, I don't know, control.
And I listen, have to I, control I love, my listen, accent I love the Brits all the and time.
I love yep. You know, England, and I love the Brits. And I love their wit, and I love everything about the way that they speak. And mm-hmm. I there's so many things I love about that culture.
Do you want to know what I want? Can we just
go ahead, sure.
On a side?
Yes.
Their commitment to history.
And tradition.
And tradition.
Yes.
Okay. There is nothing in the United States that we would lay down for the way that they have laid down for their history and tradition. And you're never going to argue with me and win that argument. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing to me because people here don't realize, they don't realize the length of time that they've carried things. You know, like you said, royalty.
But it's regional.
All of it.
I will tell you that it's regional. I will tell you that East Coast mm-hmm. communities have a little bit better sense of
yes.
themselves.
Yes.
Then as you start to move west, it gets a little different.
Yeah.
I will tell you that there are pockets across the country that absolutely sink into traditions, but they're just younger, right?
Yeah.
So there isn't this longevity that I think you can express through the length of how long a tradition's been happening. But, you know, we talk all the time on this show about the need that every tradition started as some sort of weird innovation.
Yeah.
You know, there was a first for everything.
Right.
You know, somebody said, let's do it this way. And everyone was like, boo. And then they just sort of kept at it. And
they did it anyway.
And they did it anyway. Right. And then people kind of got on board. Well, what happens is as you go through that, and this is why we end up with these weird stale interiors that are, I'm going to call it doomed by the realtor class, where like the realtor, you know, we'll look at a room and they'll pitch it, and the realtors will look at it and say, well, clearly that's the dining room because everybody wants that. And clearly that's the study because that's popular right now. And clearly these are bedrooms. And I think that to me, what I love to do about my first exercise in doing this with people, if you want to release your inner creativity that you had as a child, is to just forget the names of the rooms.
Ah, yeah. Well, I mean, bathroom has to be bathroom.
No, yes, but just for the most part, I understand that. There's a certain utility to a bathroom, clearly.
It could be a spa.
The details of which we will not go into on this show, into a bathroom.
Go to the water closet.
Use your imagination.
The water closet.
I will tell you that if you take all of the names out of it, okay, and you just go back at it and say, how do I want to live in this space?
Mm-hmm.
How do I want to move through it? How do I want to feel in it? What do I want to do in it? And more importantly, when I'm feeling comfortable and I feel like I can be activated creatively to actually do, what can I create?
Mm-hmm.
When you start thinking of it like an artist looks at a canvas and says, it can be whatever I want it to be, regardless of what you already have. Like, listen, every room has limitations.
Sure.
Right? Sometimes it's the fact that the cabinets, you don't like the color. Well, that can be changed. That's a cosmetic exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's a cosmetic exercise. However, we always associate doing with cost instead of really analyzing effort. You know, it used to be, it was funny, we were talking about this housing crisis and about how there's no supply. That's BS.
You're right.
I'm going to tell you why it's no supply. There's no supply because people don't want to work to fix houses.
Right.
There's plenty of homes you could afford. You just don't want to live there and you don't want the work. So let's start talking about this in terms of the fact that we're just creatively lazy.
Right.
Can we just say that for the most part, if we had to lay this out, Nancy, that one of the biggest problems plaguing this country is problem solving and creative laziness. We just don't want to think through all of the ways to figure out how to get it done that don't involve the money, you know, just throwing money at something. Because we've done that.
Right.
And it's gotten us nowhere. In fact, it's gotten us worse in so many instances.
Well, they, whoever they is, that's why they create these trends. Trends, in my opinion, are for lazy creative. Oh, I can cookie cutter this. I like this trend. I like this stylish trend. I can just copy what's in this picture or copy what the store display is, and boom, I'm done.
But it's not the one thing that people are starting to crave that I opened up the show with. Narrative-driven interiors. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you how this plays into cocooning and nesting. The minute you start to think about the way that you can creatively shape the space, it has everything to do with the fact that you can't look at a space as liabilities, you have to look at its possibilities.
Right.
And what everybody does is they look at the things they don't have. This is this gratitude piece in creativity. I think every artist is thankful for one thing. They're very, oftentimes we're a little not thankful for the gift because it comes so easy.
Right.
We're thankful for the opportunity to share it. The artist loves nothing more than the blank canvas. It is really important for you to think of your home as a blank canvas. Do you remember how excited you would get when you were ready to do something fun and your parents might sit you down at a table and you had a brand new box of crayons? And you had the new white, I remember how excited I would get, the new like big pad of paper.
Uh-huh.
Just white paper.
Yep.
And sometimes when you couldn't afford white paper, it was just notebook paper. Your mom just had notebook paper laying around. Right. Like, or even, God forbid, poster board was like, if you were doing something on poster board, it might as well have been the Mona Lisa.
Right.
Because you're like, oh my gosh, it's on poster board.
Look at all
this
of this.
This is going to go in the Louvre. And you're like eight. Okay. Like that level of like excitement about the blank canvas is a really great analogy for the place I need you guys to return to when looking at your interiors. It would have been easy for me to look at all of the homes that I've owned. The new space that I just bought, which is a decrepit old 1960s building, old factory that was falling apart, roof was leaking, water all over the floor, rust everywhere, right? Like it would have been really easy for me to be like, you know what? Nah.
It's too hard.
I'll just go build a steel building somewhere in the middle of some cornfield.
With no personality.
And it'll be less hassle.
Yeah.
But less hassle and easy is the enemy of creativity. I'm going to say that again. Easy is the convenience is the enemy to creativity because it doesn't allow you to problem solve. In fact, in many ways, Nancy, it doesn't force you to problem solve. Like we
I
as
like
kids,
that phrase,
we were
right.
forced
right.
into like active problem solving. You had a problem with your friend? Go talk to him.
Right.
None of this passive aggressive talking to your friends on you know, over social media and doing workarounds and all the other crap.
Mm-hmm.
And if you started a rumor and got caught, your friends were mad.
Yep.
You know, now they just sort of let it go. Like, oh, you know, it's like
everybody's non-confrontational.
That accountability that has left us, as it's our responsibility as the most advanced species on the planet to create, that responsibility and that accountability, we have absolutely lost touch with.
For sure.
Not everybody might be an artist in the traditional sense, but you are all thinkers when you want to think, which means as long as you're thinking, you're technically creating. Then the doing brings it to life.
That makes sense.
So let's talk about the two pieces in this. One is to begin to think of your home as a blank canvas. Take away all of the definitions that you think might be limitations to the way that you can reinvent a room. And then go at it and say, okay, I don't have a need for a dining room two days out of the year.
Right.
Fantastic. But I don't have a big enough kitchen. Okay, great. If you start thinking about square footage and the places where you can create the flex spaces that I referred to, you may find that a room with all of its square footage might just become the new gathering space for your table.
Right.
And that the smaller adjacent room that might have been the dining room now becomes your family room.
Right.
The open floor plan has single-handedly played into the laziness, okay, of not wanting to think about it. I don't want to think about rooms, so I just want it to be open. Now, there's a lot of psychological, nuances and psychological roads I could go down for how the open concept is just a really bad idea.
Right.
It is eliminating our ability to explore rooms. Like, one of the things we love about charming older homes is that when you move from the foyer to the parlor to the butler's pantry, or you move into these smaller adjacent rooms, that you can have these creative experiences within your home that allow you to just, they change. When it's the open floor plan, it's like, it's literally like, I'll take a number two. It's literally the Happy Meal.
It's not even that.
It gets gross because it's just like this, like, it's all of these spaces blur into one another.
It's not even that. It's everybody's eating from the same pot.
And let's be really honest. You are 25 feet away from the dining room from your kitchen or your seating area. Just because you can see the activity,
yeah, whether there's a wall
mean
or not,
actually communicating. Right. To me, open floor plans are more about surveillance. Okay?
Yeah.
So put the walls back up. Create rooms again.
Mm-hmm.
And within those rooms, think of them as blank canvases and create experiences. What's great about it, too, is if you ever were, you know, I mean, again, we're going to keep bringing this back to childhood. Wasn't it always great where if you had a subject matter you were into and you could start, like, fudging around with it, whether you're collecting this or you're into dolls or whether you're into trucks or whatever it was, you could kind of exhaust that for a while. And then you'd you know what I mean? You kind of run out of gas, so to speak, on it.
Uh-huh.
And then you could immediately pivot to, like, well, now I like airplanes.
Uh-huh.
And the ability to not be told, well, wait a minute, you're a truck guy.
Right.
Wait a minute. For 2 years, Philip, you've been a truck guy. You can't do airplanes.
Right.
But as adults, that's what they tell us.
Exactly. That's what they tell. Yeah.
Well, haven't you created a career around being a truck guy? What makes you think you could do this? Spoken
for sure
by individuals who are too lazy to reinvent themselves.
Or spoken, the space around them.
Spoken. Right. And actually, the rules are created to keep you in the identity that they can kind of control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, when I say they, I don't mean a nasty boogeyman of you know, hierarchies. What I just mean is they, meaning like society doesn't like people to be able to change because then it requires them to maybe do the same. When they see somebody improving or changing, they project and then they feel maybe good or bad about not being able to do it themselves. Rather than taking the inspirational route and saying, oh my gosh, Linda did her house and redid it. She did such a great job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than say like, hey, Linda, how did you break free and help me? Like, what did you do? They'd rather just crap talk it.
Right. Yeah.
This happens all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Suburbia did not help us. Because suburbia was close proximity of comparative, right, city growth. what house is going up that's bigger? What house is going up that has this? Right. What family has this? Why don't we have that? Why Bob has this?
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Why can't Karen get a better job? Like all of a sudden, that comparative nature of that close proximity, dangerous. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the nesting, it starts with the idea of you inventing rooms in your mind for the things that you could actually tangibly create and do. And when we come back, we're going to talk about just that. We're going to get to the doing part now that you've created the great experience. How do we make it real? Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. If you've missed all or part of the show, you can always check it out at lake96.1.com and Spotify. Oh, welcome back, everyone. Happy Sunday. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip.
Wait.
Sasana.
What happened to my British friend?
He's coming back down to worry.
Okay.
Oh, don't fret your pretty little head. He will be back in all of his glory.
I just wanted to make sure.
He's there. He's always there.
All right.
Right?
All right. Tell us how to cocoon and nest.
Yeah, here's the deal, right? So...
been waiting this for this.
Yeah, but I've been thinking about the one thing that I want to start with, because it's really easy to be like, okay, Philip, great. I've redefined. No, because I always go to the pessimistic listener who's like, yeah, whatever. You know, like,
oh my God.
Whatever. You know, no. No, I know. Because not only have I created spaces as an artist, I've created spaces as a contractor. I've had to get physical with them and build them, and I've had to design them from scratch, and I've done it for a long time. My canvases are, I am blessed to have had the canvases that I've had, to have had the experiences that I've had, and that if my career ended, right? Mm-hmm. Like for whatever reason, I would look back and be like, wow, awesome. Mm-hmm. But my mindset is I'm always, as long as I'm breathing, I'm looking for the next canvas, right?
Right.
And so what I'm grateful for is the opportunity every day to do that. And I want to talk specifically about after you've done this exercise, where you're like, okay, I'm going to try to reinvent this room. I what I wouldn't do is I would divorce it from the money. I think the first thing that I think you need to do is divorce it from the inability to dream. Like, because here's what has happened. We have also done a really disservice by saying if we need to build it, we need to pay for it. Like, because we don't necessarily think we have the expertise to pull it off.
Right.
Because we've become a society of experts where unless you're an expert, your opinion's not valid, which is really scary. Mm-hmm. Totally different show. But this thought of being, the reason I like this concept of the autodidact is because there's never been a better time with AI and YouTube and all of these platforms to self-learn.
Right.
It has never been easier on your phone.
To become an expert. Right.
And to do the research. And even though there's misinformation out there, and even though there's all, there are still credible experts who are putting this information out there, or not even experts, just people who are doing it themselves, who said, I can do it, you can too. And so what I want people to understand is I want them to start with getting physical. And I want to talk about what that means.
Okay.
I don't mean go buy yourself a nail gun right now, okay, and a compressor. I'm saying, can we just work up into that? Can we work up into the physical creativity?
Well,
you're advanced. Can we just go to the following? Get off the digital.
Yeah.
Go get yourself a printer and take your Pinterest board and start clipping it out and putting it on a poster board. Or do it digitally.
You know,
there's a bunch of people who, like, I'm sure rolled their eyes when I talked about getting paste and scissors like I was six. I'm telling you, there is something to arranging
it.
A collage, whether it be digital or physical, that the physical collage is really satisfying.
Yeah.
It is really satisfying. Listen, if adult coloring books are making a comeback, then I am way in line to say so is pasting and cutting.
Right.
A mood board.
Right.
The reason it's satisfying is because you can move things around on it. You can find new things and be like, ooh, I like that better, and swap it out. And that exercise on paper costs you nothing.
Well, and they still print magazines. It's another thing to also, you know, get a better Homes and Gardens.
But
and
I think on this
see
show,
the pictures.
Nancy, I think on this show, I have dreadfully underplayed the ransom note.
Yes, you have.
When I have talked about the design exercise being this ransom note of clippings that clients bring to me sometimes digitally in the form of Pinterest, what I like about the fact that when it's physical, when it's torn out magazine item and the notes that they write on the side, they're trying to use a vision to sort of express themselves. And I love that. That is an offering. And what we're not doing is, remember when you talked about self-permission, about giving yourself permission?
Yeah.
Give yourself permission to dream again on paper. Give yourself permission again to dream on paper. When was the last time you allowed yourself to dream physically on paper other than a Pinterest board? Because the Pinterest board becomes hoarding ideas.
And they never get really put together.
They never get. Yeah. And honestly, you see enough stuff and they never get organized.
Because swiping doesn't do it. Swiping isn't the same as gluing.
No. And they never get organized.
Right.
You tend to just do it as a way to pass time. And then your Pinterest board is a mess.
And it's not a board. It's a file. And you're flipping through and you're.
Well, it becomes the fact that everyone's got 12,000 photos on their phone now.
Right.
And you never bothered to download your best art that you're going to own, which is your memories and where you've traveled and your kids and whatever. Right. You never bother to transform and turn that into artwork. I beg you guys, you want to start reconnecting with a level of creativity that I believe that you have. You've got to start harvesting and making your enthusiasm for dreaming again something that you practice.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make dreaming not a luxury. You've got to make dreaming a habit.
And a priority.
That's where imagination comes from. Imagination and creativity comes from allowing yourself the time and the space to dream about what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when you talk about what ifs and what can be manifested from that.
I was just getting ready to say that I think people would be surprised at how many times you can turn the what ifs into reality.
100%.
Yeah. I think it's
especially
undervalued.
If you're not in a rush.
True.
Because think about your what if board. If your what if poster board that you've done all these clippings on was something that you sat down with somebody who was just a handyman,
mm-hmm.
you can begin the process of nesting. You can begin the process of doing applied molding over drywall. Because again, no one in the history of man, unless it has wall covering on it, ever looked at your drywall and said, "Oh, Alice, I have to say, I just want to compliment you on your drywall. Your gypsum board is gorgeous." No one.
Nope.
It's a canvas. You know what drywall is? One big canvas, and your home has a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Applied molding is one of those things that when you nest, thickens a room. When I talk about millwork thickening it, that's one of the ways you can begin to feel like a room is cocooning you.
Yeah.
The second is fabric. I'm going to tell you that the window treatments and the cost of window treatments and whatever the bad vibe is that people get from window treatments, whether they grew up with them and they didn't like them that their mom had them or they don't want to cut the light out of the view, whatever the neuroses there is, I work in an office, so I don't want to cover up anything at home. I want all the natural sunlight to come through. That light control or that lack of light control is actually hurting your interior.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's also not allowing you to soften your space. Vertical fabric matters, people. Window treatment matters.
It does.
They matter. And then everybody goes to they play on your cost-conscious mind. Yeah, don't do drapery. The cleaner look is blinds. Don't do this. You know who says that? The person selling you the blinds.
Right.
And if you don't think that that's buried in everything you're consuming digitally, you're crazy.
Right.
Because it's all product placement. You don't think Hunter Douglas is like, "Hey, do me a favor. We're a little low on plantation shutters. Would you do a whole feature on plantation shutters in your next magazine or your next few posts?"
Right.
And of course, the advertiser's like, "Yeah, we can do that for you. No problem."
100%.
Okay. Yeah.
And let me tell you something. As somebody
You know what it goes back to? Push the veal. Okay?
Right.
It goes to push the veal at the restaurant.
And let me tell you, as somebody who does this for a living, writes the subliminal messages, they're subliminal. much of the time. You don't even realize.
And they're even they're even more subliminal, more well hidden.
Yeah.
And
you don't even realize they're
now more effective more than
ever. Right.
Because what I love about the raw digital feed about other quote unquote non-experts in the do-it-yourself community that's out there. If I'm telling you, one of the best ways to take your space and get physical with it is to go to the do-it-yourself sites and the do-it-yourself feeds and the do-it-yourself YouTube videos. These are actual people transforming their homes.
Right.
And they're putting in the time, energy, and effort. And some of it they're doing with some assistance, and some of it they're doing on their own. But there is no substitute for putting in the work. And we've done ourselves such a disservice by not understanding that the pride in work is something so fundamental to the human experience. Actually doing physical work is now a bad thing. Under the guise of, I'm not paid to do that. That's not my job. That's someone else's job. That's beneath me. Whatever the reason is that we've concocted to make ourselves feel better about some sort of physical labor, okay, being a problem in our world, is the other reason our creativity is absolutely going unrealized. Because 100%. Maybe we're able to dream it, and then we're too lazy to do it.
Mm-hmm. And you want somebody else to do it for you, and they're not going to do it the same way.
And then you're indignant enough to get upset with them that you didn't like the way that they did it. That's even worse.
But it might be done, but you didn't do it.
Mm-mm.
I mean,
listen,
you can be proud of it and you can enjoy it, but it's not the same.
Mm-mm.
It's just not the same.
And you know who my best clients are?
People who screwed up their DIYs?
No, that's good. Funny that you say that. No, they're the ones who actually did do it themselves at one time and understand how hard it is.
Yeah.
And they just have the means to be able to hire someone else to do it, and they want a good partner.
Yeah.
But they've done it. It's not that they didn't do it. It's just that they've made a choice that they'd rather do something else.
Right.
And that they want to recognize the talent in you to help create their canvas.
Yeah.
Right now, if you're in that space, that dormant space where you're like, I can't really afford to do it, but I think I can apply some time, energy, and effort to it. I'm telling you right now, getting physical with it and going back to those childhood activities to create a vision on a vision board non-digitally is one of the best experiences I think you can have. If you go to our feed right now, I want you to go to the vault, and I want you to go look at the idea board that we put together for the vault.
Okay.
Which has things from my printer, found objects, trinkets, all sorts of collected found objects. And I did a vision board for this new concept of the vault. Going back to playing on a big vision board in a physical manner released a level of creativity that even someone who's already creative daily, like, it was like a new reservoir of oil that I had found.
Sometimes you need that.
And it just come right. Yeah. It just came gushing to the surface. I want that for all of you in the new year. Get creative, start to dream again, and then let's figure out a way to make it a reality.
Act on it. Yeah.
Act on it. And thank you for joining me on this Sunday show right here on Lake 96.1. You've been coached.